In our previous year, we began a discussion about lotteries, about goyros. And there's a tshuva in the Shas Tshuvas Rav Pa'alim, Chelek Beis Yoredei Simen Lamed. He notes that the Gemara, many places in Shas, says that a Mesach B'Kuvya, a gambler, is Pasoleidus, and he therefore asks, why isn't a Goyro in the category of a Mesach B'Kuvya? And as we discussed in our previous year, he quotes the Shas Tshuvas Chavos Yoyer, Simen Samach Aleph, that we find precedent in the Torah, in the Neviim and Ksuvim, that they relied on a Goyro. So why over here, why is there no concern when
making a Goyro? So before we discuss that question, it's interesting when one learns the tshuva of the Rav Pa'alim, he discusses two interesting points about the Isser HaMesach B'Kuvya. He says the Gemara indicates there are two reasons why Mesach B'Kuvya is posoleidus. One is because he's ena oisik b'yeshiva shalom. A person who earns his livelihood by gambling is not really spending his time in a constructive manner. That's one point he makes. The other point that he makes is that the Gemara says that a smachta lo kanya, that when somebody puts his money down in a gamble, what he's really assuming is that he's not going, when he puts his money down in a gamble, is he doesn't expect to lose. So ultimately, if he does lose, it's an asmachta. He only would have gambled, he only gambled because he assumed that he's going to win. And therefore, what it's sort of a situation of gzeil. So he brings rayas from the Rishonim raid, that the Rishonim actually held of both reasons, lahalocha, why Mesach B'Kuvya is also. He also goes in to quoting Rishonim that attempt to make a distinction between gambling, which involves some level of skill, versus gambling that involves no skill, pure luck. And he quotes Rishonim that take opposing views on which is considered more of an issue of gambling, when it involves no skill or when it involves some skill. For the halacha l'maaseh, he says that it doesn't really make a difference, and a masach b'kuvya is considered a masach b'kuvya no matter which way he was masach b'kuvya. So given this background, the question that we began with, why isn't a goyro considered Mesach B'Kuvya, becomes all the more cogent. How could we allow for goyros for lotteries? So he differentiates between when one is making a goyro on an object versus when one is making a goyro on the money itself. He says, for example, if somebody has an object, or in our world, this is the way Chinese auctions work, and the way he wants to raffle off, the way he wants to sell this object is he takes money from many people, and he takes the money for himself, and then after he takes all that money, he makes a lottery, and one of the people who put money into this pot, so to speak, will be the one that wins that object. Since
the person who's the winner will not get the actual money that was contributed by the various people who are part of this gyro. He's getting this object that belonged to the owner, who's giving it to him willingly. That isn't considered a gyro. In fact, he says the Tshuvas Chavos Yor that we quoted at the beginning of our shiur, that the Rav Pa'olim quotes, was a story on Purim where somebody had a silver becher, a silver cup, and he raffled it off, and whoever won got that silver cup. He, however, does seem to indicate that if what the goyel is, that all the people put their money into the pot, and then the winner takes the money, that would be considered Mesachah B'Kuvya. So if that's the case, the typical lottery that is common, it should be considered Mesach B'Kuvya. Because there, it's not that we're putting in money and going to get an object. Everybody's putting in money, and the winner is going to get the jackpot, the money. So the Paiskim say that that is also not considered Mesach B'Kuvya. Because Mesach B'Kuvya means that you have two or more people in a group betting against each other. When we speak about these lotteries where they have many people contributing, it's not that one person is taking from another person. Especially the lotteries in most places is run by the government. So it's not like I'm playing against someone else. I'm playing against the pot, which is owned by the government, and therefore it's not considered Mesach B'Kuvya. There's a tshuva, and the Shiles of Tshuvas, Tshuvas van Hugges, Chelik Bey, Simon Tof Rish, Lamed Hey, where Rav Moshe Sternberg apparently discusses a situation where it was Nebuchadnezzar Yosoima who needed to get married, and they came up with a way to raise funds where everybody's going to contribute to this gyro, and the winner will get a prize. Obviously, the prize will not be equal to the amount that they hope and expect to receive from all the various contributors. So, Rav Moshe Sternberg asks, why isn't that considered a situation of a smachta and a smachta loikanya? So he says that there are paiskim that in general say that by tzedakah there's no concept of a smachta loikanya. And moreover, when do we say a smachta loikanya? So as I said a few moments ago, the concept behind a smachta loikanya is that when the person who plays a game gambles against someone else, he would have never gambled if he thinks he's going to lose. He's only gambling with the assumption that he's going to win. And therefore, if he ends up losing, he doesn't really give up his money readily. However, when somebody is playing a gyro for tzedakah, he's not really intending to beat his opponent and I'm going to get his money, but he won't be able to get mine. He's really doing it to contribute to tzedakah. And moreover, he says, when somebody plays a lottery, he knows the chances of him winning are very low. And therefore, he isn't assuming that he's going to win. And he's also, this goes back to the Sfarah we said a moment ago, an asmachta is when I'm betting against someone else. And I'm sure that I'm going to win, and that's the only reason I was prepared to put the money down, and that my opponent will lose. When I'm playing with a lottery, I'm not playing against my opponent. I'm playing with the tzibur. So it's not like I think I'm going to get his money or he's not going to get mine. And that's why it's not considered an asmachta when we're dealing with a tzibur. And therefore, he says that they can't go ahead with that stock project of a goyim. But then, there's another interesting shaila. The Ramosh the Tzal and the Gris Moshe, Eirik Chaim Chelik Dalet Simen Ayin Vov, Sif Beis discusses. He says, now that we've established that a tzedakah is allowed to have a goyrel, a Chinese auction or whatever, the question is, can you use tzedakah money, maisa money, for a goyrel? So Reb Moshe makes the following distinction. He says, sometimes when there's this type of a goyrel, there's a finite number of participants. In other words, he speaks, I use his example. There are 5,000 tickets being sold, and everybody contributes, let's say, $1, and the winner is going to receive $1,000. And obviously, whoever's running the goyrel is going to make a nice profit of $4,000. So he says, that is considered a business deal. And however, he says, the way most stockists run their goyrel is not that they have a finite number of tickets they're going to sell. As many tickets as they can sell, that's how much they're going to sell. So he says, when something doesn't have a finite definition, how much is the investment going to be? How much is going to be the payout? That's not considered a goyrel that's considered really that you're giving tzedakah. And the entire way that they're trying to get people to give the tzedakah is by making it interesting or exciting with a goyrel. So he says, in a goyrel where there is no finite number of tickets being sold, you could use maisa money. In a goyrel that there is a finite number of tickets being sold, you can't use maisa money. But Reb Moshe makes one more point. It says, so let's say you contributed to a goyrel with a finite number, with not a finite number of tickets, that he just asked you could use stock of money, maisa money, to pay, and then you end up Baruch Hashem winning. So he says, then the money that you used from your tzedakah fund to your maisa fund should be given back to the tzedakah fund, the maisa fund, if you're going to be using the winnings that you had.